Chapter 1. Glasgow, Scotland, July 1862. "You've come home," Lennox said. Glynis wanted to pull away, but stood still. Precipitous gestures could be misunderstood. Better to allow him to hold her hand than cause a scene, especially when whispers swirled around them.
"It's the MacIan girl! Home, after all these years!"
"Wasn't there some scandal about her?"
"Is this the first time she's been seen in public?"
Were people recalling those times she followed after Lennox as a child? At 5 years old, she marked him as hers. As a young woman, she was prepared to tell him she adored him. Foolish Glynis. He must not affect her. She wouldn't allow it. She was no longer 19 and desperately in love.
"Why didn't you come home sooner?"
he asked now, still holding her hand. Instead of answering, she only smiled. The diplomatic ranks did not value honesty, and she became adroit at sidestepping it. He still smelled of wood and the ocean. Whenever anyone said the word ship, or she tasted a brine-filled breeze, he would appear in her memory with a twinkle in his eye. The hint of beard showing on this important occasion wasn't due to any sloth on his part. He had to shave more than once a day to eliminate a shadow appearing on his cheeks and chin.
"I think God wants me to have facial hair," he said to her, "but God and I are going to disagree."
He was a foot taller than she was, dressed in black evening wear, accentuating his shoulders and height. All his life he'd worked hard, and it showed in the breadth of his chest and muscled legs. Something about him, though, hinted at power, and always had. In a crowded room, people sought him out the way they looked to leaders and confident men. Lennox Cameron resembled a prince and a devastating Highlander, and he'd been the hero of most of her childish dreams. No longer, however. Too much had happened in the intervening years. She had grown up. She needed to say something to ease his intent look. Some words to make him stop staring at her, as if he were comparing this Glynis to the impetuous, reckless girl she had been. Did he think she appeared older? When she smiled, the skin at the corners of her blue eyes crinkled, the only sign that 7 years had passed.
"Do you find Glasgow changed?"
Thank heavens he eased the silence with an innocuous question, one simply answered. She was capable of prattling on for hours about places, countries, people, or the recent weather. Ask her something personal, however, and words left her.
"Yes, I would say so. Your firm seems prosperous."
Was that an adequate word? Duncan said that a dozen docks along the River Clyde bore his company's name.
"We've been fortunate."
His shipyard was famous even in Washington. Members of the War Department said Cameron and Company affected the outcome of the war by aiding the enemy. Lennox wouldn't care if the world talked about him. He'd continue to do what he wanted. Such bravado might be laughable in another man, but this was Lennox.
"Thank you for coming. My father will appreciate it."
"Duncan told me of his blindness. How horrible for him."
He nodded.
"You'll find he's sanguine about the accident. He's just grateful to be alive."
A comment necessitating only a nod and a smile.
"Your husband died," he said,
the words stuck. An odd way to offer condolences.
"Yes."
"An accident," they said. "What a terrible and senseless tragedy, and his wife so young." He pressed her gloved hand with his. Her fingers were icy. Did he feel them through her gloves, or suspect her lips were numb? They were strangers, and yet not. They never would be. They'd shared their childhood and too many memories. He stared down at her. A woman could get lost in his eyes. Unless, of course, she was wiser, older, and tested by experience. She pasted a formal smile on her mouth, a similar expression to one she'd worn when introduced to the matronly harpies in Washington. This occasion seemed no less important. He dropped her hand. She almost sighed in relief, but restrained herself. One must not attract attention.